We read God's Word this morning in the 103rd Psalm, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This far we read God's word. Our text is taken from verses 11 and 12. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Beloved saints in Christ, the psalm before us extols the mercy of Jehovah God. There is really no other mercy. You don't really compare and contrast the mercy of Jehovah to the mercy of humans. Because any true mercy that comes from humans must come from brothers and sisters in Christ, and therefore is really the mercy of Jehovah Himself. And any mercy that comes from humans that does not come in the power and in the life of Christ is not, in fact, mercy. There is no other mercy than that which is found and comes from Jehovah God. And so the psalmist exclaims the greatness of that mercy. He speaks in verses 2 to 5 of how that mercy is shown to His covenant people in forgiving sin and healing diseases. He emphasizes in verse 7 that that mercy has been shown to Israel throughout the ages. In verses 8 through 13, he expands on that. The Lord hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. This has been the pattern of the way Jehovah has worked with Israel throughout history. And then the comparison to a father and the reminder of why that mercy is so needed. We are dust, and we are as grass, as a flower of the field. Humans, creatures, sinners, we need this mercy more than we need our daily food. And then at the end of the psalm, a praise of Jehovah for the everlasting character of that mercy and a stirring up of his soul once again to praise this God. Now, as we come to our text, we see that it gives a reason for what we have in verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Should Jehovah deal with us after our sins and reward us according to our iniquities, He would not show mercy. He would show justice, righteousness in punishing us. But He hath not dealt with us that way. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. And while this text, in addition to others in the Psalms, speaks of the greatness of God's mercy, while it speaks of the particular recipients of God's mercy, a particular grace, it underscores one point that is unique to the Psalm and even found very graphically here in the Scriptures above many other passages, and that is the infinite character of the mercy of Jehovah God. To that character, I call your attention this morning under the theme, as far as east from west. Notice first, we're speaking of divine mercy. Second, righteous mercy. Third, particular mercy. And fourth, infinite mercy. What is Jehovah's mercy? To begin with, Jehovah's mercy is His desire to bless His covenant people by delivering us from the troubles and trials of sin. And at the very heart of that desire to deliver is a compassion that Jehovah has, a heart that is moved by the plight of sin into which we have plunged ourselves, and moved by that plight, desires to deliver us and take us away from sin and its consequences. One of the words often translated mercy in the Scriptures, there are a number of synonyms here, one of them emphasizes that mercy stems from the compassion of Jehovah God. It's not a word found in our text, but it is found in verse 4, speaking of the tender mercies, and in verse 8, speaking of Jehovah as merciful. The idea is that He has compassion in His very being and at His heart. Now, that compassion doesn't just stay hidden within Him. In that compassion, He looks on us and our needs, and He desires to deliver. Compassion does not look on a person who is in need and say, "The poor thing, I hope some way, somehow, at some time, that person improves." But compassion stops and says, "The Lord has put me here. I am going to minister to the brother or the sister or the neighbor," and so does Jehovah, and He does it in a marvelous way. If His mercy is a matter of His compassion, as shown in a desire to deliver, then what Jehovah does in showing mercy and in delivering us is not merely take our guilt away, not merely make it so that we don't suffer the effects of sin anymore, but He gives us a blessing beyond the blessing we would ever have otherwise experienced, and a joy and an intimate fellowship with Him that goes beyond what Adam and Eve experienced in paradise. He takes away our sin and shame, and He blesses us beyond comprehension and measure. That's the mercy of Jehovah. But now, coming more specifically to the word found in our text, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him, it is a word that refers specifically to the steadfast covenant love of Jehovah God. What that word does in relation to Jehovah's mercy being His compassion, in His desire to deliver us, and in His actually blessing us beyond measure, what this word does is underscore that it is the covenant of Jehovah God that governs His mercy. His delight in a people, His desire to have fellowship with us in Jesus Christ, And therefore, what governs his compassion is not just a tender heart and feeling and affection, but a love, a voluntary, willful, sacrificial, giving love, which Jehovah has for his people in Christ. Covenantal mercy. That's why I said at the beginning of the sermon, there isn't really any other mercy. There is no true mercy that does not proceed from the covenant God who shows mercy and a desire to establish covenant fellowship with us. And that's why I titled the first point, Divine Mercy. This is Jehovah's mercy. The very name Jehovah underscores what that word tender covenant love underscores, that it's a covenantal mercy. The name Jehovah is the covenantal name of Jehovah. But it also underscores then that there is no other mercy to be found in any other God. The idols that men worship, of wood, of stone, of silver, or the figments and creations of our heart, those from which we seek honor and fame and happiness cannot and do not show mercy. Go once to a land in which idolatry prevails, whether that's the Philippines, steeped in Roman Catholicism, whether that's India, full of especially Hindus. See them worship their gods. They do not know a God of mercy. Jehovah's mercy is divine mercy in that it's a mercy that comes from the one, only, true God. And in addition, these idols which know no mercy have no covenant, and their worshipers do not enjoy a covenant relationship, a relationship of friendship and fellowship with that God. With Jehovah, it is all different. He looks down on sinful humans and says, elect humans, of course, but they are miserable. But in this circumstance, they cannot enjoy the greatest blessings. They cannot enjoy life with me, Jehovah God. And he says, I will deliver and I will give them the blessedness of covenant fellowship. That's the mercy that you and I will show one another too. Especially being fed and strengthened presently this morning at the table of our Lord. A mercy that looks on one another's plight and says, I'm not Jehovah. I cannot fully deliver my brother or sister from his or her troubles, but I will not merely pass by and look on from a distance. What can I do to build my brother or sister up in Christ and show my compassion and my desire for covenant fellowship? Divine mercy. You think of how the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 4 treats the mercy of Jehovah God in connection with his justice, then you understand the need for the second point. This mercy is shown to sinners. How does Jehovah do that? Does he show mercy to sinners by saying, I'm going to forget about your sins? And then how would that explain that he shows mercy only to some sinners and not to all? Would it be that Jehovah says of some, I like you better than others, so I'm going to show you mercy and not them? And would that not undermine the justice, the righteousness of Jehovah God? We must emphasize today that the mercy of Jehovah is a righteous mercy, and it's righteous in two ways. One of them comes out in the text. That's how the mercy is displayed. The other one doesn't come out explicitly in the text, but it underlies everything that the text says. That comes in the ground or the reason why Jehovah can show mercy to sinners. As regards how it's displayed, the text says that he hath removed our transgressions from us. That's mercy. God takes our guilt. Guilt. We violated His law. We're worthy, liable of punishment. He can visit us with everlasting destruction of body and soul in hell. He has the right to do that. He says of that guilt, it's gone. And not just a little gone, not just mostly gone, not just begins to be gone, it is gone. He forgives our sins, He erases them, He blots them out so that He remembers them no longer. That's His mercy. And in place of guilt, He imputes to us righteousness and says, I see you, sons and daughters. As you come into my house today, and as you prepare to eat at my table today, I see you not as sinners. Your conscience accuses you of sin. I see you as spotless in the blood and with the white robes of Jesus Christ. That's the righteous display of the mercy of Jehovah God. And then, not just the taking away of the guilt of sin, because sin has a second effect on us too. It corrupts. One sin makes one a sinner. That's why our human nature is sinful. Adam and Eve sinned once. The whole human race became sinful. So the seed, one little seed of one little sin, and it makes one sinful and a sinner. That's the corruption of sin. And Jehovah removes not only sin's guilt, which is the emphasis of the text, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us, but also the corruption of sin. And He overcomes that, first of all, by working in us the new life of Jesus Christ, and then preserving and sanctifying that new life in us, and then one day preparing to bring us to be with Him in glory, spotless, sinless, unable to sin. Do you experience this mercy, according to which God says of you, sinner, righteous, and according to which He says of you, prone to continue in sin, renewed? Do you experience that mercy? You do. You do. You do, because that's His word to you today. By faith we receive it. You do because you've come, having examined yourselves, to partake of the Lord's Supper. Here too there is mercy for sinners. Growth, a meal, bread, wine, strengthening, nourishing. We're made stronger. That's Jehovah's mercy in progressively sanctifying and taking our sins away. Do not despair. As you come to the table of the Lord, that perhaps, though you know your sins and grieve on account of them, there is no mercy for you. Do not despair. The text set forth how that mercy is righteously manifest. But why? Why can Jehovah do this? He who is perfect in Himself, righteous in Himself, He who says, I will punish sin. Why? Because in His compassion and mercy, He sent His only begotten Son into our flesh. There you see what the compassion of Jehovah did long before you and I ever knew there was a Jehovah, long before you and I were ever born. He said from all eternity, there will be a miserable people. I will send my Son. And then Adam and Eve fell, and He said to them almost immediately, I will send the seed of the woman. And then to Israel came the promises again and again. And finally, Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself, is born in our flesh. Jehovah's mercy, He stoops down in His compassion to have pity on us and prepares in Jesus Christ to to take our sin away. And then Jesus Christ, having come in the flesh, did not look at a wretched batch of elect sinners and say, well, this is more than I bargained for. This is more than I can handle. He said, my meat is to do my Father's will. And he suffered his whole life long. And he gave his life to the death of the cross. And if he's yet dead, then there is no mercy still for you and for me. But he rose again the third day. And now he has not only obtained mercy, but he dispenses mercy. Our God is a righteous God. And this is why you and I have such comfort and hope. The sins that he shows tenderness toward us regarding are completely gone in Christ. The atoning work of Christ is a finished work. And that's the reason you and I come here today and say, I know that I will experience that mercy beyond measure. Not every child of God can know, not every human can know that. Not every human can know that because in the very nature of the case, the mercy of Jehovah God is a particular mercy. It is for some only. It is for the elect only. It is for those for whom Christ died only. It is for those in whom the Holy Spirit works faith, sorrow for sin, and new life only. And then our text underscores in its own way the particular character of the mercy of Jehovah God when it speaks of the objects of this mercy. First of all, he hath removed our transgressions from us. Now that means that it's a mercy shown to transgressors. You might say, I don't see anything particular in that word, anything to suggest that Jehovah's mercy is. For a transgressor is one who violates the law of God, and the whole human race has. But in the Scriptures, although all have violated the law of God, all are guilty and under sin. In the Scriptures, the word transgressor refers to one who is in the sphere of the covenant, in the place where God realizes his covenant on earth, one who hears of Jehovah God, one who then knows his sin. And that is what makes this a particular mercy. The transgressor whose transgressions are removed is not the Egyptian of Old Testament Israel, is not the unbeliever of New Testament church era in which you and I live. It is the child of God who sees the greatness of his sin, his misery, his guilt, and the very seeing of it is a testimony of a grace of Jehovah for a particular group of people. But then you and I have to identify with that. We have to say, yes, I am a transgressor. Does not that make Jehovah's mercy astounding? Mercy to somebody who was just in a car accident. Mercy to somebody who just fell off their bike. That's one thing. Mercy to somebody who rubbed my name in the dirt. Mercy to someone who's not faithful to me, but runs after other gods. Mercy to a husband who's unfaithful to his wife. Mercy to transgressors. There is no other mercy. And if you see any pretended mercy anywhere else, it surely is not this deep. What else in the text underscores the particular nature of the mercy of Jehovah is that the text says it is to them that fear Him. The fear of which the text speaks is the fear of reverence. It's not a terror at Jehovah God and a fright, but it's a humble adoration of Him, coming in His presence to adore His majesty and His holiness. It's an attitude then of the heart of the child of God, but this fear, this attitude, shows itself by reverencing His word and His law. You don't fear Him if today you want to live in sin and therefore choose to live in sin. Then we're a transgressor, yes, but not the kind who fears Him. The psalm speaks of a transgressor who fears Him. One who recognizes what I am by nature and who desires to be, and in the power of Christ begins to be, a very different kind of person, and who says, but I esteem this Jehovah God. I live in awe of Him. He is most glorious, and to keep His law and to live close to Him is my heart's desire. Now, why would the text underscore this particular characteristic of the mercy of Jehovah God? Well, first of all, to remind us that the objects of His grace are a particular number and group. And as you and I come to the table of the Lord today to partake of His mercies, we remember that we have been divinely distinguished. We do not take for granted what He has given us. In the second place, to remind us of the very gospel of grace, that they who partake of the blessings of Christ are not those who are worthy. I didn't one day wake up and say, I'm a transgressor, I'd better start fearing Jehovah God. That is, I didn't wake up and do that in my own strength and of myself. It is Jehovah God who by His grace and Spirit has given me to fear Him, to see me as I truly am, and to stand in awe of Him and say, not my will but Thine, not my kingdom but Thine, not my name but Thine. I am not worthy the particular character of Jehovah's mercy underscores the grace of it. Let me say it again this way. Jehovah did not look around and say, now who among men fears me? I will show them mercy. Present it that way, and you have man's works being the basis on account of which Jehovah shows kindness to His people. But rather, Jehovah said, whom do I love in Christ? Them I will cause to fear me. And now you see in you not only your curse and your sin and the curse due to you for it, but a desire more and more to live in accordance with God's law. And you say, then that mercy is for me. That's how the transgressor knows there is mercy for him or her. Jehovah's made us conscious of it. Jehovah's given us to grieve on account of our sins. Jehovah has said to those who grieve, I work that grief in you. I'm preparing you to enjoy covenant blessing forever. And then, coming to the striking, unique aspect of the text, infinite mercy. So great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. The text uses two figures to express the thought of the infiniteness of Jehovah's mercy. The first is, as the heaven is high above the earth. Now, of course, the creation in which we live is finite. And even outer space somewhere has a limit to it. But when the scriptures in our text says, as the heaven is high above the earth, and uses that as an illustration of Jehovah's infinite mercy, it is saying and recognizing that from the perspective of every human, we will never see the end of the universe. We look up into heavens, and we see a plane flying 4 miles or so overhead. And we look beyond that in the nighttime, and we see stars billions of miles away. And beyond those stars are galaxies unknown to us. From the perspective of the earthling, heaven's height is infinite above earth. And that's an illustration of the mercy of Jehovah God. Never ending. The second illustration is as far as east is from the west. East and west never meet. Start walking east and you will never go west. Go west instead and you will never find, unless you turn your direction, that you are now walking east. Try that with north and south once and see how it's different. Go north. As far as you can go, and assuming there was a land mass all the way to the North Pole, go north, and at the North Pole, there is only one direction you can go, and that's south. Say the same thing about the South Pole. If you could walk there, the only direction you can go is north. If Jehovah's mercy is as far distant as north from south, 25,000 miles, that's a long way, if it was only that distant, then it is not an infinite mercy. Then you and I have a reason to be afraid. Then we have a Jehovah who says, I'm going to bear patiently with you for years and years and years and years. I'm going to show you something of a common grace in which my justice and my wrath is restrained for a while. But in the end, when you get to the North Pole or the South Pole, as it were, then all that mercy, all that kindness, all that compassion is over and you will experience my wrath. But this text says, not as far as north from south, but as far as east from west. That's infinite. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. The point is, Jehovah never says to his covenant people redeemed by Christ, now you've tested my patience to the limit, and I will show you mercy no longer. Jehovah shows mercy in sending Christ and regenerating us and strengthening us by his word and spirit every Lord's day under the preaching of the word and feeding our souls at his table every day anew as we turn to him in his word and prayer, by other fellow saints who warn, admonish, rebuke, but also correct, encourage, and exhort. And finally, by taking us to heaven, it is all Jehovah's mercy. Unending mercy. He will never undo the work Christ has done at Calvary. No wonder that when our Lord and Savior instituted the Lord's Supper, he made a point of using bread to picture his body and wine to picture his blood. And of having the one who administers the sacrament break the bread and pour out the wine to remind us that all this mercy that we continually enjoy stems from one fountain, flows from one source, the pierced side of our Lord on Calvary's cross. Now you must be comforted, beloved. Only an infinite mercy saves. Only Jehovah's mercy saves. Only Jehovah's mercy based on the cross of Christ and person and work of Christ saves. Only Jehovah's mercy to transgressors and those that fear Him to a particular group saves. Only Jehovah's infinite mercy saves. And when you and I say now, but there is a sin in my past, I still am not sure that I'm forgiven. I still am not sure that Jehovah has not put it aside. There is something about me that day after day after day stands in the way of my being sure that Jehovah really has forgiven me. When you think that way, take your eyes off yourself. Put them on Jehovah. See what He's done for you. And then, amazed, yes, astounded, yes, but comforted, say, His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting, as high as heaven above earth, as far as east from west. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.